Morning, Tim. You look good in there, sitting in the office there, by golly.
Elvis is in the house.
Oh, this is, no.
I had a pretty good stack of papers to sign, so I got that out of the way. It was enjoyable driving into work today. It's been a while.
You know, I can relate.
Yeah, just something approaching normal.
Good morning. Good morning.
We fell out of priority, Doug, on Saturday. So we are starting. We started reservoir water yesterday, and so we've got. I think we have enough water for 12 or 13 more days, and then it's over with.
So you know what? My ditch has the number 2 water rights on the Yampa, and we can't get water out of it right now, basically, because we'd have to dam up the river to call the river out to call out the juniors. And so we'd have to shut the whole river down to be able to put the whole, it's that close to being that dry. 44, you know, there's probably 100 CFS going by my house right now. So it's pretty crazy. It's just dropping so fast and so hard.
Yeah.
Get a little sprinkle yesterday, we hope, I heard.
Yeah, we did. We don't have a rain gauge, but I think we could have had maybe even as much as 0.05 inches.
Wow, that's good. Well, I had my sacrificial fields down so that it rained more.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's usually my job. But, yeah, I was surprised. I was talking with Jim Stanko, and he told me that his dry land hay was like half of normal production. Not because of lack of water, but because it was cold early in the year.
Yeah, we had some little freezes in there that kind of really knocked the stuff down hard. So, yep.
I think everybody, Beth, you're here. Nice to see you.
I'm mostly here, Tim.
Mostly there. Well,
that's going to have to be good enough, though.
Okay, very good. So let's go ahead and get started. What do you say? So, yep. Doug, do you have some accounts payable for us?
Yes, sir. So, I think Kendra actually sent them out to have you just sign the cover sheet, but she had me sign it, which saves me scanning it and emailing it. But so, anyhow, Mr. Chairman, I move that we have approved the accounts payable for cycle date 7/6 through 7/10, and that'll be in the amount of $915,268.09. And I've got a couple items to note here. So
second.
So yeah,
we have a motion and a second. Items of note, Doug.
Yeah. So we actually, I think we made a payment to our JP Morgan Chase, who was doing our P cards for $18,700. So that must be doing pretty good for something out there. We hope. We had a payment to City Steamboat Springs for some building department use tax. And we had payments to Colorado Department of Revenue for a bunch of money. Mostly that money was about close to $500,000 was that to Colorado Department of Revenue for motor vehicle money. We had a payment to Colorado Department of Local Affairs, and that was a Sheriff's Office grant repay for that black and gray grant that they had gotten earlier. We made a payment to the quarterly payment to the district attorney's office for $181,936. And again, we had some motor vehicle payments to City of Steamboat Springs and the town of Yampa.
Are there any questions or any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Mr. Chairman, I move to approve consent agenda item A.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. public comment, but the only people that I see attending appear to be the media and one of our employees. So if any of you individuals would like to make public comment, hopefully by now you know how to raise your hands. I'm not seeing any raised hands, so I will close public comment at this time. And we can kill about 7 or 8 minutes until we get our folks from Mountain Architecture for the human services design conversation. So, what's going on, guys?
Well, I just wanted to let you guys know that I delivered that piece of art to Public Health yesterday, and Carrie was very appreciative. So, don't know where they're going to put it. Maybe in the cabin.
Is it down there in planning? Where Carrie's
yeah, at? I actually no one was down there. I just left it in the conference room in planning for them.
I will go down and take a look while I'm here today.
That sounds great.
It was kind of a cool piece, for sure.
Yeah, you know, actually, if I remember correctly, the woman who donated it, she's a friend and I know her, and she ordered one for herself and got two or something, and so she had it framed and wanted to donate it to the public health department. So Eric and Linnea helped me with that paperwork to make sure we don't get anybody in trouble for accepting gifts, and I just thought it was nice. It was a nice gesture.
So it wasn't sexist or discriminatory towards males, was it? I'm good. I'm just...
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and just not answer that question.
Just so long as I'm not put in the position of actually judging the relative merits or quality of pieces of art, because I'm pretty sure I have very little taste. So.
Me as well. I'm good.
Fair enough. I don't have anything. Except that I'm going to be spending so many hours in a row watching county manager videos.
Yes.
I have not moved quickly enough on that. It's gonna be a long afternoon.
I will tell you that I'm getting quicker at it as yeah. I go through them.
I'm almost done, so I only have like one left, I think. So, but anyhow, it works really good to watch listen to the videos as you're reviewing the resume. So it kind of, yeah. You can kind of double time it. It kind of works really pretty well. So
I like those videos. I think they're really helpful.
And my assumption is that, I'm pretty sure that none of the candidates were prepped on the questions. They had to answer those questions cold.
I don't know. It's unclear how it works.
Well, I'm hoping that they had to answer the questions cold. because I mean, clearly, some of the individuals are not really well prepared for the questions. Let's put it that way.
Tim, typically, yeah, you're not prepped on the questions. So it's, and that's a little bit of the exercise, is to see how you respond extemporaneously to the things that are brought forward.
No, I agree. I think it's a pretty valuable tool that SGR provides for us. And like you said, Doug, listening and watching the video and splitting your screen and looking at the resumes and then taking notes kind of all at the same time is a pretty good way to do it.
Well, I've been getting ahead on that, so I know Beth's been getting way ahead of us on the protect our neighbors, so I have a lot of homework to do on that. And I know
it's all right, Doug. I think the reality is it's going to be a while before we'll be ready to apply anyway, and I think we want to keep moving forward on all of that, but we have a lot of other things we need to be working on, so I think it's okay for it to be... just one of the things on the list. Yeah. I don't think it has to be top priority right this minute, because until we start seeing declining cases, we're not eligible anyway. And I don't know if you guys saw or not, CalFO, I guess, they met the other day and their consensus was, there's basically no counties in the state, or maybe a very small limited number that are considering applying right away.
Yeah, I saw something from Summit County somewhere, maybe it was a newspaper article, and they have decided to not apply at this time. And they sounded a lot like us in that they were going to start working on the framework and trying to implement some of those things, but they were actually not ready to apply. And in their case, they were pretty much openly saying that they had too much disease prevalence to even qualify. So.
Well, and the framework is good. Regardless of the protect our neighbors part of it, I think the framework is really strong and valuable, and there's value in working through all of that. I also think, there's relatively free money involved in doing the planning work. And so it would be stupid to not try to take advantage of that for the planning work. So figuring out what the best use of that is. What I saw from Summit County is that they were at the very least, and this was like the bare minimum, going to wait for 2 weeks of data after the 4th of July before they did anything at all, which makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think all of us are kind of worried more about going backwards instead of trying to think about going forwards. Just watch P's and Q's and try to make sure we're all doing the right thing so we don't go backwards instead right. of, I'm good.
Well, I think the reality is the steps we need to take to avoid going backwards are the same steps we need to take to be ready to go forward, whenever we get there. It's staffing up public health. It's making sure we have all that capacity to do what's needed. So I think we're on the right track. But review that document I sent and definitely let me know any thoughts you have. It was very much a first draft, but I think we need to get – we have already gotten the conversation started with our municipal partners especially, but I think it's going to be a little bit of a process and we just need to keep moving forward on that.
Hey, Mark, a little bit of housekeeping. I believe tomorrow we had a meeting scheduled with our CARES partners, the municipalities, to talk about how things were going. Would you mind attending on my behalf? I need to attend a CCAT meeting because Beth can't go because she needs to go to a just transition meeting.
Tim, happy to do so. And what I was thinking of doing also with your permission and that of the commissioners is also seeing if Greg Winkler, our DOLA rep, can also join us for that. I think sometimes there are some questions that pop up and some information that he can share that is pretty timely that I think he would be he'd be a good asset to have on the call.
Oh, that's a no-brainer. Call him up.
You bet.
And then we finally got our forest land managers meeting going again this morning. We met in Little Toots Park at 7 a.m. in our lawn chairs, properly socially distanced. But it was good to get that group back together again. I can tell you that Sam Parsons was getting pretty concerned about the fire danger. He talked about some specific areas, especially out in your part, neck of the woods, Doug, Wolf Mountain, and certainly out towards Craig, and the number of fires. And, personally, I don't think it's going to be long before we get a recommendation to go into stage one restrictions. So, and Tara was the same way. Everybody's pretty concerned. Things are drying out super fast.
Well, the wind's killing us. And that storm that we had, it blew through here and I was unloading hay with the loader, and lightning flashing around. It's like, oh boy, this was a lot of fun. The lightning, and it didn't get enough rain to make any difference in that and the wind that we just been getting. So, lightning, it's dry.
I'm glad you met those folks, Tim. That's good to get them back together. I'm glad you guys were able to connect.
Yeah, it's a good group. You know, one of the things, you know, we've all been inundated with so much information, and frankly, I have to admit, I didn't pay that much attention, but to the planning process for some of the ski area expansion that's coming.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be, I think, judging by the conversation we had this morning, that's going to be an interesting conversation. Let's put it that way.
It's huge. Have you looked at the plans?
No, but I will now after talking with the folks. And
it's pretty big. I actually haven't looked at the plans either, but Will was telling me about them.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be the usual concerns about wildlife up there that are going to be a big deal. So, okay, it is 9:45, and let me see here. Yep, I see Lacey is with us. There's Ed. Is Chansey going to be joining us, Lacey?
I'm not sure if Chansey will be able to get on this call. She is up in Montana, but okay. Ed and I are here. So.
Okay, that sounds great. So this is our 9:45 a.m. Human Services Building site concept with childcare study discussion. Who's going to lead off? Kelly, are you going to lead off, or are we just going to let Mountain Architecture run with this?
I'm good with Mountain Architecture. Thank you.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Lacey, Ed.
Morning. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you, Ed.
But my face is stuck, so that's not a big deal. What we have quickly created for you is for your use per our last meeting is just some visual aids to take a look at the impacts of a childcare facility on the property and what it may do. We have a preferred option A, which is a standalone building, and option B, which is a facility that's integrated with the design or a single building within the design of the DHS facility. I'm thinking the drawings pretty much speak for themselves, and I'd like to just entertain any questions that you may have regarding what you see and the impacts. There are, of course, some advantages and disadvantages. The bottom line is we feel we can probably create a 3,000 square foot facility on the property, which does limit the use, probably more than anything, the outdoor use of the property. We have the preferred option A, of course, which is a standalone building.
Hey, Ed.
Yes.
Ed, let me interrupt you for a minute. Your comment that the plans and drawings speak for themselves, you may be overestimating our ability to interpret what we're looking at. So
okay.
I would be open to a nice walkthrough on what we're looking at.
Okay, what I mean by that is that the bullet points you see on the drawings would after even after this meeting would be very helpful for you, but essentially that what we are indicating is that a 3,000 square foot building, which probably houses anywhere from 24 to 30 children, depending upon the amount of the number of employees, would actually function on the property. Shortcomings there would be, of course, the parking. Parking would become cramped. As far as the community development code requirements of providing on-site parking, that may be cramped. But you've indicated in the past that the county does have ample parking around its buildings nearby. So is that an issue? I don't know. It may be a planning issue. That's the biggest issue we see.
I have a clarifying question, Ed. So the green square there is the proposed childcare facility.
Yes, exactly.
And that's been inserted inside of the space that was left available from the original design that you presented to us at our last meeting.
That is correct, yes. Lacey, you might want to walk them through a little bit of the...
I'll chime in. So everybody can see the screen. So just to start with this top corner, this L shape that you're seeing, this is all DHS departments. And we've looked at stacking our second level and just keeping that portion of the program concentrated to this corner of the site. And then this lime greeny area is what we've kind of defined as the daycare facility, the footprint of where that program can go. So you can see, as Ed has kind of explained, it's 3,000 square feet. It can accommodate up to 24 to 26 kids, 2 to 4 employees. We've allocated 2 15-foot-wide parking spaces because childcare facilities typically require a larger van or some mode of transportation. So we've allocated larger spaces there for those vehicles as well as ADA spaces. So in this scheme, we are defining the entrance to the facility on this corner. So parents would do pick up and drop off on 6th Street and maybe have the option to use the alley. I'm not sure if that's a good use of the site, but they can definitely use 6th Avenue from, or 6th Street from Oak Street. And they would just have to walk down the sidewalk to access the childcare facility in the back. So it's kind of nice that it's tucked away, but it's also, it doesn't have immediate street frontage. So we've kind of identified with this scheme, with the study A, just the benefits. The main benefit of this plan is that this building could be phased. So you could move forward with your DHS project that could be fully built out, and then this area could be allocated later, or you could do it all at once. We can move into the study B to kind of show you how we integrated that facility within the DHS project, and there's pros and cons to that as well.
I have a couple of questions, because I don't know if you received the, I did a little research and planning on what, you know, what we might be able to put, what, you know, based on the community need and the building itself. I don't know if you saw that. I guess I just want to confirm that a couple of things are happening. One, that there's adequate outdoor space. I think that we thought we needed at least 1,000 square feet of playground space, and I'm not sure what you've calculated here.
So to answer that question, this area that I am kind of hovering around with my mouse, that is, I think it accommodates, it's about 2,400 square feet.
Okay.
And this is a fenced in playground area that kind of is tucked away on this backside. So a drawback would be just the topography of the site over in this area. That would maybe be one challenge for us that we would have to sort out. But we have in both schemes identified outdoor playground space, mm-hmm. whereas this area right here where I'm hovering is allocated as outdoor courtyard space for DHS employees, as well as this circular area here. So those would be the two outdoor spaces for DHS, and then this would be playground space for daycare.
Okay. And then actually that aligns with something I was thinking, which is it seems to me from a planning perspective that if there were anything that were appropriate to encroach on the setback, you know, a sort of playground, which is a pretty low impact use, would probably be it. That's just a comment. And then you said 2 to 4 employees. I guess I'm not sure what you mean, because care for 24 to 26 kids is going to need way more than 2 to 4 employees. Do you need in addition to the employees that would be working in classrooms?
Ed, can you answer that one?
And those are just numbers we grabbed. You know, it depends on how many employees you, how sophisticated the program is. There's there's actually opportunity for some more employees. This is a starting point for us. The studies that we've done and the experience, I know, for example, we worked on North Route Preschool. Generally, there's about 100 square feet per person that occupies the building. So 30 people would be equate to about 3,000 square feet. That includes the, in the state regulations, there are criteria for clear floor space, but it doesn't take into account the square footages of the building itself, circulation, et cetera. It's just a starting point for us.
Okay.
Probably more, if you need 4 to 8 employees, obviously it just bumps the numbers and the square footage.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Those are my only questions.
Yeah, the only question I had, and I think it got answered, the playground area is not subject to the same setback requirements that an actual building is subject to.
The playground area for the daycare, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, that's generally the same square footage as the building itself, approximately. And that's what we've used here, just about 3,000 square feet of each.
No, my question is, it obviously encroaches into the setback area from the
creek. Yes.
And that's okay.
I believe it will be okay, because there's nothing in the CDC that I can find that says you can't have an outdoor activity in it. Now, some of the state regs may require, physical separations from creek, obviously, and things like that we can resolve. But that is an issue, Tim, that why we showed it where it is, because it, for your information, that in order to have that square footage, it will need to include some of the 50-foot water body setback. Yes.
Thank you. This
scheme.
And you can put that on site if this does become an issue. We're just kind of showing how you can max out the space. There is this area right here that is available, but we were really trying to separate the playground from this conference room area just for acoustics. So that's our thought process there. So that's kind of where it fits the best. There might be some hoops we kind of have to navigate. Do you guys want to look at our study B, or do you have any more questions with site study A?
Yeah, so this, Doug, I have a question, Ed. So you said something just a minute ago, one of your last comments was that could be adjusted for more employees, or I didn't understand that. So
what our example is, if you look at the top, this is a 3,000 square foot facility designed for 24 to 26 kids, which would include 2 to 4 employees. That's this scheme. I think Beth was indicating you would probably need more employees than that. If there's, for example, if we really need to house 8 employees in a facility like this, it would just grow the 3,000 square foot, Doug, to more square footage.
Okay.
Our example is, like I said, just a starting point for you to get a physical feel of what this function may, how it impacts the site, the property.
So then another question I guess I have then, so that green spot that we're looking at for the daycare center and rest, is that a single story or is that a double story?
That's a single story building. The state regulations require that daycare be all on one floor, one ground floor. So that is not to say there couldn't be a second story on that for some of the additional administrative. That is definitely a possibility, but the 3,000 square foot green you see is all a ground floor. That's a state regulation for daycare facilities.
That sounds great. Thank you. That's what I needed to hear. No, yeah.
But so sorry, just confirming what you said, if we wanted more on this site, we could put something else as a second story above that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just
it can't just be not children. Your,
programming. Could be an admin or offices, storage, just no classroom space. And yeah, so like Ed said, this is just a starting point. So as we, if this is something you guys move forward with, then we can define that program more in detail. And then that will tell us how many teachers are needed, how many employees, what our max occupancy would be.
I would like to talk briefly on scheme B. Lacey, if you could go to B.
What time out. I've got another question on Scheme A.
Okay.
You noted that using this scheme, potentially this building could be built at a future date. But going back to the conversation that we had the last time you were with us, it would probably obviously still be more economically viable to build it all at the same time.
That is correct. The reason we wanted to stress the point it could be built separately. I understand there may be some options for funding, grants funding. Would that conflict with the timing of the construction of the DHS facility? I don't know that answer, but it does allow that. Obviously, if you built this as one project, it would save money. It just, the difference is if there are different funding mechanisms that would, conflict with this a construction schedule of a DHS facility. That is purely, yeah.
Thank you. That's all I had. You can go to B now if you want.
Okay. So B is actually one building. It has the same 3,000 square foot footprint on the main floor. It has direct frontage off of 6th Street for drop off, et cetera, if that is a requirement. Here the facility would have to be a single build construction all at once. It also offers obviously more open space. We can provide on-site parking. There is a little conflict with getting children from the facility to the outdoor facility. We have kind of a cross pattern of cross traffic there. If there's a need to for any of the employees of DHS to use that back door or service entrance, I'll call it. There's a little bit of a conflict with this scheme there. But this is just one approach to a single building advantages, street frontage, more open space. Those are the basic differences of Scheme B and A. Lacey, you can elaborate a little bit.
Yeah, so as you can see, this footprint right here is dedicated to daycare, and then we've stacked DHS departments on the second level above the daycare. So yeah, like Ed said, the benefits are maybe street proximity here and then more outdoor space that's utilized without going too far into that 50-foot setback. We are encroaching a bit, but it's not as great as option A. And then you have more on-site parking in this scenario. So there are pros and cons to both schemes, both options. I think option A we prefer because it is a separate space and there's ability for acoustic buffering because daycare facilities, they can be noisy when kids are outside playing. So we just are really looking at how to separate that. Even when they're indoors in classroom settings or, acoustics was a main concern in these schemes.
Again, Commissioner, this was an exercise we kind of took on ourselves to just provide you some information. I think it hopefully it's helpful for you to visualize, like I said, visualize the impacts of the site development. Is this the next steps, I guess, would be something we're not necessarily capable of, the viability of having the daycare facility and the county running that. But this at least gives you the visual, and we wanted to get that in front of you to help your decision-making with that.
Lacey, in that lower right-hand corner where we're looking at the daycare facility, yep. Am I to take it that the dark green area is a two-story area?
And that vertical hatch that you see, diagonal hatch, that just indicates the second level above. So again, the DHS facility is that L shape on the site where we've kind of defined as where we think is the best fit. And then, daycare is allocated to this lower area, all on one level.
So
we're utilizing stacking.
So the light green is a one-story structure and the dark green is two stories?
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the whole daycare footprint is this area.
And then, not that I actually care that much, have you drummed up any elevations of these options?
We have not. We okay. have not.
That's fine. I think I can visualize it without the elevations.
Can you explain why study A is, option A is your preferred option? I don't think I fully captured that or understood that.
I guess we as a team kind of felt the detached facility might be advantageous. I think, obviously, a standalone facility, is there any legalities with having a totally separate building? I don't know. It's let's just say, Beth, it's slightly our preferred. There are other factors involved, but we just kind of felt the standalone facility did not create kind of a cross traffic of children getting indoor to outdoor and servicing, and it was just a preferred option, and obviously allows two different construction time frames. I don't know if from an energy standpoint, does one building, is it more efficient? Probably slightly, but I would have to create more specifics to totally answer that question. It was really just our emotional reaction.
And are there any cost savings to be gained by one option or the other?
Probably the only cost savings at this point would be one construction. And we've kind of brought that forward in our last meeting, where when you build a project in two phases, it is more costly. So a one phase building would probably be a cost saving.
Well, and wouldn't there be some cost savings associated with a building that's all one building in terms of you have fewer exterior walls and insulation?
And I would think from an energy standpoint also, Tim, we have one heating plant, one cooling plant.
Offsetting that a little bit by having two stories, though? I guess I'm not sure. I'm not familiar enough with how these costs add up, but.
Anytime you go two stories, you would probably have a more economical construction, more economical build. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But you also sometimes lose some circulation space for stairwells and things of that nature.
But it doesn't actually add cost to go to two stories, is what you're saying. Okay.
Should save a little bit. But it's not going to be a huge amount.
Right, not significantly.
I guess I have a couple of just comments. I think this second version is more what I was picturing generally, but I can also see some benefits of the first version in having it be just a little bit separate. Both from kind of a funding standpoint and an operational standpoint, and just but I don't, you know, I don't know. I think it also maybe gives us a little more flexibility in our decision making, because we could sort of just cut that part out, which we at some point in the future, if necessary, which I don't think we could do with option B. You know, I don't know. I'm just sort of thinking out loud, but those are kind of
That's exactly it. It does allow you to, as Lacey had stated, you now know a 3,000 square foot facility can fit on this site if it decided to be built later. That was the whole point of that graphic, yes.
And I suppose the other option, as long as we're thinking out loud, would be we could either under option A or option B, we could simply shell that space and yes. and maybe at some future date put a daycare center in there, or if there's expanded county needs, we've got the square footage is built and ready to have a tenant finish put into it.
Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I got a question. So as both options have the same basically number of parking spaces?
Option
A has 14 spaces. So option A has less parking spaces. Option B, we were able to utilize some of the site footprint where the detached facility is located in option A. So in option B, we have utilized that space. Sorry, I'm pointing with my finger. Let me point with my cursor. This space is for parking. So you have more spaces in option B.
Five more spaces, is that right?
Yes.
Five more spaces, but we're by city codes, we're still short of providing the required spaces. I think it would be something like a total of 24 to 26 spaces for the total build out of both buildings. So we're still short a few spaces by these designs, by per community development code.
And that's the development code for daycares specifically?
That is for daycare. Daycare has requirements of one parking space per employee and one space per every six children.
So then both of them require asking for forgiveness, variance.
Exactly.
And the A
to asks, some degree of variance, yes.
And A asks for more.
Yes. Very good.
But as a reminder, I think you guys told me that Holy Name, which clearly has basically no parking, is utilizing our parking lot to count toward their parking spaces. Isn't that right?
I believe that's true. There's definitely an argument for not providing the required parking spaces per code, and that's why we have the variance. Why a variance exists is to justify that. I think we have a good case in this instance.
Have we done an analysis of the number of parking spaces that are required here at the old courthouse and the annex, counting the number of spaces we have in our big parking lot?
I have not done one. I don't know if that's available. If Steve might be able to help with that. He's not with us today. I don't know. It's really just a per square foot, and then it goes by use. So I don't know. That may be something we would do as a preparation for the planning submittal, is do that analysis.
And yeah. I'll just chime in that some of the input that we have received from DHS is that we could look at utilizing that campus parking that is currently available, as well as off-street parking, as well as accounting for employees that take public transportation. So mm-hmm. that would kind of factor into building our case for a variance with a site with less parking. So we don't want to fill up the site with just a ton of parking if we don't have to.
Right.
Not to be cynical, but we don't have a parking problem downtown. No, there's no.
Well, we have plenty of parking, Doug.
Well, it's been that way forever.
Everybody's going to start riding their bikes.
I mean, there's no question that our current parking lot accommodates a lot of people's parking that have nothing to do with county business.
Sure, absolutely, yes.
I wonder if we would like to invite Kelly and Julie to make any comments on these plans.
I think that would be great.
We can invite them, but
I'm right here, so I just took me a second to unmute. I think it's great. I do think there is a possibility. I don't see a parking as an issue because we do have a lot of our staff from Craig do carpool in, we do bike, you know, and there is all that off-street parking that we can park on Oak Street or other streets like that. Of course, with first impressions being part of the county, if there is a way to support the lack of childcare options in this community, I would highly support it, though I do understand that the priority is not necessarily the child care center, but I do think if there's a way to make it happen, especially if we can make it a space that could be repurposed if for some reason a child care center in a perfect world, there wasn't a need for more child care centers, that it could be repurposed for other stuff.
This is Julie. I think like physically, I see that this location is possible. Fundamentally, I have questions. We work with people in hard times of life, child support, their families aren't together, child welfare, we have parenting concerns, people have financial concerns. We can't control if we're assessing an investigation of child abuse, sexual abuse. And so the folks that we have come in our building have different backgrounds. They may have felonies. I'm concerned if it was located within our building, what protocols would have to take place? Would our employees have to go off-site to meet with those individuals? And so I'm more so curious to hear about, like, fundamentally as well as practically, can we really serve both populations and ensure safety of all involved?
I guess I hear what you're saying, Julie, but I think especially with the standalone building, that option A, I guess it would be that is truly a standalone building and has the playground area off to the left down towards the creek. It almost feels
go
like
back to that, Mason.
It almost feels like that just becomes a fencing issue.
I think, though, I mean, Julie's point is well taken, and that definitely should be part of the analysis. I think just understanding the safety, I tend to agree with you, Tim. I don't know that there's a lot more risk than there is to, you know, the preschool that's across the street. But it's maybe an argument for a separate building rather than trying to integrate it into the same building.
So, Ed, we're still talking roughly $400 per square foot, we believe.
I think that's a target.
Mm-hmm. So what are we looking at total square footage here right now then? So we're looking at three for the...
Well, we were around 12,000 for DHS, I believe, and another three would be 15,000. So I think you've added with site improvements, playgrounds, et cetera, you've probably added, what, another 1.5 to the budget?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Ed, was 1.2 for the building cost and then another miscellaneous $200,000 or $300,000 for playgrounds and parking and other infrastructure. And that is the purpose of today's conversation, is to consider whether or not we think it's a good idea to add in a childcare facility to what we're already thinking about building.
One other thing I just want to confirm, and Ed and Lacey, if you know the answer to this, my understanding from the conversations I've had is that there's no reason that the construction of a childcare facility would really cost more on a square footage basis than something else. I think typically they need a little more plumbing because of like sink and bathroom requirements, but that other than that, but that doesn't really add additional cost. It's just, that's my understanding. Is that your understanding?
I think you're correct with that, Beth. I mean, the obviously the plumbing, the most expensive components of any building are the plumbing facilities and kitchen facilities and, sophisticated mechanical systems. So although a little more plumbing, I don't think it's above average. You are not providing commercial kitchens, things like that, that would be in the scheme of things, not adding to special building costs, let's say. So I think across the board, we're probably going to use the same square footage number for now.
Yes. Yeah, typically in a school classroom construction, which obviously is different than childcare facilities, but elementary and middle school classroom construction tends to be actually a little bit less. You have fewer walls, more open space.
Yes.
Some less finishes, so, but I agree with that. Practically speaking, it's going to be pretty close to the same.
Pretty close, right.
We obviously would hope it would be less, but planning on the safe side.
Always. We always hope it'll be less, right?
Yes.
So the analysis for the benefit of the commissioners, and I'll just put this out there for discussion, is I'm saying it is twofold, which is, one, to certainly address Julie's concerns, which I agree are legitimate concerns that need to be analyzed. And then just for us to say, hey, do we want to spend an extra $1.5 million to make it possible to have a childcare center? And is there any hope of grant funds that might support that? And then also analyzing what ongoing operational expenses would be. I guess my hope would be if we created a childcare center and paid for all the capital improvements up front, that operationally that facility ought to be able to take care of itself out into the future by generating its own revenues.
So you'll probably remember that I did do some analysis on that, and I have that information, and we can look at that again, although it was one specific scenario in terms of operations. But I guess I personally would say that understanding that those DOLA dollars are potentially available, I think we should find out more about that from Greg Winkler and just make sure that really still exists and is expected to continue existing, because that would cover 75% of the cost of this area. And I think knowing that, because if we're talking about us spending that $1.2 million, I think it's a really different conversation than if we think there's sufficient outside funding available. And then beside that, I think generally it's the operational questions. It's Julie's questions, it's the ongoing cost, it's the logistics of it. And I know Doug has had a question about whether this is even the right location, right downtown. I have my own opinions about that, but I think those are really the considerations we need to work through. And I guess my biggest question is, when do we actually need to say for sure yes or no, and how long can we proceed with, well, conceptually, we're still considering that this is going to be a part of the final product? I guess I just don't really know the answer. Like, is it at the point where we're ready to decide on funding and building, or is it significantly before that? I just don't understand the process well enough, so would be curious kind of how long we can string it out while we do the analysis.
Beth, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When you talk about potential DOLA funding, is there a separate pot of money that may be available for a childcare facility? Or are you simply talking about overall DOLA funding for the entire project?
So my understanding is that it's the same pot of money, but that if you are investing in something that is related to early childhood, that it only requires a 25% match from the governmental entity. So I think one question to ask would be, you know, I don't know, could we even call this two separate projects and tap into DOLA funding for each portion? I have no idea if that's possible or not. But when I spoke with Rick Garcia about this concept, his eyes lit up and he was so excited. You know, there was definitely just excitement about this type of project. And I think, so yes and no, Tim, it's the same money, but there's a little bit of a different, at least there was, I don't know if anything has changed. And I would have the question of whether, you know, we could sort of tap into it twice and kind of think of these as two separate projects that we could apply for DOLA funding. I don't know the answer.
Well, that speaks in favor of option A.
So I think we ought to talk about the drop dead questions here. I mean, Julie brings up one. And again, I personally, I mean, we could, it seems like that's still a workaround, but I'm naive to the situation. So I guess, you know, again, Beth brings up the point that, well, we got another one right across the street, whether we have different timing or whatever, and whether, you know, we could put, you know, these contact things and whether that's a good place for downtown Steamboat as well. So, you know, I mean, so we need to come up and whether that's, you know, meeting those customers or something, you know, and that doesn't help us in doing the DHS downtown, and that's what we've been after doing. But so, when, you know, back to Beth, your question about the funding thing, I mean, we separated out the CLEF. There's no problem with us separating out this building with the two different parts of it. We can build that thing. And so, you know, and again, I guess, you know, I'm worried about, you know, if we are going to do that, we need to ask that critical question. Is this the right place for a daycare center? And if it is, I do want to make sure that the space is built space that we can repurpose at a later point in time, that we're not tying something into there. And that sounds like that's what would be happening as well. So, you know, I guess just a couple comments there.
So for sake of argument, if we're looking at option A, we can separate these two concepts out. Let's just say we knew we had enough money to build a DHS building. We could theoretically direct Mountain Architecture to move forward with design of a DHS building and delay the conversation about the design of the child care center. Is that correct, Lacey?
I would say yes, that is one of the reasons we provided the two options, because it does allow one building to move forward. You know, you're investing in probably if there ever is a second phase. This clearly shows that it can be done. It doesn't have to be. The urgency of having the DHS facility built may be more important than having the immediate use of the child care facility. That would be true. I would agree, Tim.
So, and Tim, I would also just remind us that one of the conversations we were having is if there are some sort of recovery dollars that end up being available, you know, being ready to go. So let's imagine a different scenario where we can do the whole thing because we have some of those kinds of extra funds available. You know, we are also theoretically ready to go on that. Just another consideration.
So I guess my concern, you know, of building in the two phases is there's no incentive to come back and build the second phase. So if you don't do it now, I mean, so I think we really need to answer the question, is that what we want to have there? And that's what our process is. You know, I'm just concerned and just, well, and, you know, by the time we get to that point, we're 4 to 6 years down the road, we, you know, there's going to be some new people in the system. So if that's our vision, we ought to be, and again, I'm not advocating for either one of them. And I appreciate the two differences, but if we ought to, you know, if we're shooting for the sky, we ought to be shooting for the sky and not accepting something less than that, if that's what our ultimate plan is going to be.
So well, I have just a thought. It sounds like the standalone building is probably where we would generally fall down, you know, that we would, that would be where, what we would look at. I guess it sounds like, and I would agree that in general, the biggest thing is just sort of the analysis of whether this makes sense or not, right? From an operational standpoint and those kinds of things. So I guess I'm just wondering what the best way to proceed with that kind of analysis is and who could or should do that. And I guess I wonder if Kelly has any thoughts about that. I mean, Kelly's the one who probably has the most knowledge of these kinds of things of all of us. And I guess, Kelly, I'm curious what thoughts you have on the best way to go about that type of analysis.
Bethany, clarify, what kind of analysis would you like me to look into?
Well, I think just I'm not asking you to look into anything.
I just want to make sure I know what.
No, you know, just understanding whether this is the direction we want to head. You know, from an operational standpoint, from a financial standpoint, from a cost benefit. You know, like the questions we've been asking, like is downtown Steamboat the right place to put a daycare facility? Yes. You know, what would the ongoing operational costs be and how would we address those? What are the management and, you know, kind of just basics of how this thing would be run and do we want to take that on or not? That kind of analysis, I think.
Oh, and absolutely. I know we've done some of it. And the good news is a lot of, or at least I know of a couple of counties that have had child care centers or a couple other like school districts or nonprofits that have had child care centers within co-located. So I definitely think that's an easy opportunity without a ton of work just to reach out to other agencies. I do know that's why I considered or I suggested that we make sure that there's an option to repurpose if there's not a need. And that can be for lots of different reasons. I know that Pickens County had a child care center and they repurposed it just because they needed the staff time and the location wasn't where the child care centers were needed at the same time. Their location's not downtown, a little different, but I definitely can look into that and then the operations cost as well.
Yeah, I guess the question that I think I raised this before, the question I would like to see answered, and I think you may have some examples of it right here locally. Let's just say, for instance, that we went ahead and built this child care facility and we were willing to turn over the facility on a long-term lease or whatever kind of a lease to an operator. Can an operator make break even at least, or maybe even make a little bit of money on a 24 person child care facility and pay all the bills without worrying about the capital cost? In other words, if I gave this building to Tammy Havener, if she was still in business here, could she make a go of it and support her own operational expenses for running a childcare facility?
So I've done a little bit of that analysis, Tim, but it's only under one specific scenario. And it's a starting point, but I do wonder, Kelly, who we could kind of reach out to get more input on that.
Because, you know, that's kind of my impression when Tammy was here, that when, what's the name of her facility?
Discovery
Center, that they did a significant amount of fundraising and they were able to raise enough building to get the building built. And then from that point forward, they were able to go of it, but they weren't having to retire the capital expense in the first place. They just had to get by with operations.
So yeah, to further up on that comment, you know, and then again, I've been thinking about this, hashing over my brain as well. I'm not really interested in obligating the county to be the operator of this as a long-term facility. I think we ought to, you know, it needs to be, you know, we build a facility and we make it, you know, we got a tax exempt rates and we figure out how we can get an operator in there. And even if we're, you know, maybe subsidizing the rate, but, you know, the commissioners and Kelly and DHS doesn't, I don't think, need to be running the daycare center on top of the other issues that they're running. So I think that has to be at the front of our table here too, just thinking out loud.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Doug. And I guess one thing I am curious about, they tend to operate in bigger cities more, but there are these organizations that all they do is provide on-site childcare for employers, and they run. And so I think there could be multiple types of options for that, whether it's just someone locally who wants to take it on. And essentially, you know, it's a zero rent or a very low rent space for them to do it in order to keep the rates affordable.
Okay, so a little more context for the conversation, and Ed, interrupt me when you think I'm wrong, but if we've got a 12,000 square foot building, that's going to cost us roughly $5 million. And then the addition of the child care center is going to be roughly $1.5 million.
I would use those numbers, yes.
I actually still tend to think you're a little low on the $400 a square foot, mm-hmm. but that's just a personal opinion. And maybe that's colored by our experience at the combined law enforcement facility that probably had much more expensive items and systems that had to be put in there than what we're talking about for a child care center and what is in essence an office building.
I would tend to agree the 400 might be low. What I'm most used to, Tim, are actual building costs. I don't have my arms around site improvements, infrastructure, and all of that necessarily. So when you do include that, and this is not an easy site, let's say, the 400 is probably low. But like you say, also, it's a relatively straightforward building, not so sophisticated offices.
Yeah, so if we went to $450 a square foot, we'd be at $5.4 million for the office building, and 3,000 times 450, 3,000 square feet times 450 would be another 1.4. So we could be looking at $6.8 million total, including the child care center, to achieve Doug's dream of doing it all at one time and thinking big.
That's Doug's motto, isn't it? Big, spend big or go home. Isn't that what Doug says?
Go big or go home.
I start the project.
Well, no, I definitely spend big, Tim.
Oh, okay.
There's economy and scale.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is the whole reason this idea came about in the first place, is yes. Taking advantage of that economy.
I wanted to touch a little bit one issue, Beth, on the operations of a daycare facility. What I've read, the research I've done, is generally the larger facility, somewhere around 60, 70 children, are more economical. They're more feasible to, let's say, they're more profitable than a 20 to 25. So yeah. That's just FYI.
I think that's definitely true. I think the main question is Tim's question of, if you don't have the capital costs of a building or mortgage, you know, more financially viable, and that, I think that's the $1 million or $1.5 million question here.
So I think I'll express my opinion. I mean, and we need to address Julie's concerns for sure, but if those concerns could be addressed and satisfied, and we had the money, I think I would be interested in doing the whole ball of wax. I think, you know, we own the land. I mean, it's a good point. Are there better places to go and build a child care center? Maybe, but we don't own any other land, unless you want to build it out in Oak Creek on the back end of the Road and Bridge Shop, or in downtown Yampa on the Tim Corrigan Memorial vacant lot. This is the place where we own the land. There's clearly the supply of children that would be available to use the child care center. So yeah, I think the discussion for us internally is to sit down with Dan Strnad and say, number one, how do we build a $5 to $5.5 million human services building? Is there a way we can figure out how we're going to do that? And then add the second question, oh, by the way, do you think we can squeeze in another $1.5 million for a child care center? And how would we pay for it over time?
So it's all a matter of timing, too. And I guess one of the things that we haven't talked about that much is partners and whether there's partners. And, you know, that's a big thing in our strategic plan is partners, and that we're not out here doing this thing all alone. And not to put the city on the spot because of the quasi-judicial situation that they would be in, too. But I would hope they would be supporters and allies in this and not opponents of it. And so that's a big question I continue to have about the downtown and, you know, the conceptual of that they, whether they think, you know, they've said all along, we want to have good offices downtown and the rest. And, you know, so, it, but again, if we're doing something that, you know, and again, so another partner would be, you know, Beth, your first impressions people. And, you know, I know they'll support, being on the board myself for a while, they'll support any daycare, that, you know, just bring us the spaces and we're good. I understand that too. But again, I guess the partners would be something to say, hey, no, this is a really good thing for people that are working downtown. The option to say, hey, no, there's a lot of people that have kids that would be downtown, that this would be a prime spot. And again, I'm just talking here aloud here, thinking out loud. Again, this is a prime downtown spot. And again, I appreciate the repurposing too, but we want to make sure that everybody thinks that this is a great place to put I'm sure everybody thinks it's a great place to put the human services building. I want to make sure that everybody thinks this is a great place to put the daycare center. Because I remember then when my predecessors decided this was a great place to put the new justice center, and the populace told us that wasn't exactly what they thought needed to be downtown. So somehow we need to feel out some other perspectives here. And again, I'm not, the commissioners still run this thing, and we're still moving it forward, but I would like to pick up allies versus opponents. So my comment.
Yeah. So you guys know that I support this. Obviously I wouldn't support it if I thought it was wildly financially irresponsible, but I haven't been convinced of that yet. I remain open to that possibility that we uncover some new understandings as we roll through this. But I would agree with Doug that we need to identify who potential partners would be. I had started some conversations with a few folks at the city prior to COVID. And maybe you remember that talking to them about this concept was on our agenda the day that we ended up only being able to talk about emergency response and COVID, so for our joint meeting. So there are a few folks at the city who this is on their radar, and but it, probably follow up on that would be important. And maybe that's just honestly starting with Mark and Gary as a beginning point, because I know that Gary was involved in those first conversations. And so maybe that's a starting point. I guess I keep wondering, and maybe this is just idle wondering, but I'm picturing definitely some kind of announcement, some kind of community and partner engagement process here. It sounds like Kelly can at least get that ball rolling, but I'm wondering if this isn't more of a facilitated process at some point. I wouldn't want to spend a ton of money on like a consultant, but Kelly, what do you think about, would First Impressions have any resources to just support somebody kind of doing this analysis for us? I mean, maybe just a few thousand dollars or something. I have no idea. But otherwise, honestly, it's probably going to be me and Kelly trying to do it.
I think we should look into that. And then I do think there's a couple of things. Get the resources from other counties that have done it and from other councils and things like that. And then we can get some facilitators to, or some kind of consultant to kind of do some legwork if we need to. I think we have, you know, some managed care savings or some grant funding that I can see if I could utilize some of it for this.
And I'm thinking about that in the broader context of first impressions. You know, obviously we're talking about this as the county and as the county facility, but remembering that this is, of course, the benefit is that it's contributing to the availability of childcare in the community. And so I think there is an appropriate role for first impressions in kind of a broader context of how this supports the goals that first impressions has.
I agree.
So just to be clear, and I definitely appreciate the concept of involving partners and stakeholders in the conversation around the child care center. We're not suggesting that we need to engage in that conversation around our DHS building.
No.
I'm not suggesting that, no.
just to be clear, so that my follow-up question would be to Ed and Lacey, which is, let's just say we really decided that we had the $5 to $5.5 million to build a DHS building. Could you reasonably proceed towards construction documents, leaving the child care center as a future consideration? Or do you really need to include the considerations of the child care center in developing construction documents?
I think if you determine that the option for the child care facility would be standalone, we would be absolutely fine pursuing the construction documents for the DHS facility. Obviously, if it's integrated as one building, that's a different thought, but we would be fine pursuing, you know, schematic design and onto construction documents of the DHS facility while the conversations about daycare on the property continue independently.
I mean, you would have a few considerations regarding windows, for instance, on that area in between the child care center and DHS on the lower level.
Well, in us pursuing the schematic design of the DHS, we're not going to ignore the possibility that there will be another building on this property at some point. I think that's just some design parameters we would consider from the get-go. Even if this wasn't a child care facility, I think it's wise to plan that another building or an addition, some type of building, could be placed on this property in the future, because it's illustrated graphically that a building can fit there. We would want to consider that in the design of the DHS, that yes, a building could be there in the future, whether it's child care or not. So those are obvious next steps for us, Tim.
Yeah, I would want you to do that for sure too, because I would like to keep that option open for a future board in 10 years down the road, 20, 15 years down the road. And again, space becomes more tight down there.
It's maxing out the property is what I've heard you say.
So Ed and Lacey, if at this time we were, let me put this a different way. Let me ask you a question. What is the extent of your obligation to us in providing design services if we're just talking about the DHS at this point? How much further do you go?
Well, our next step for just the DHS would be to start organizing a real floor plan and creating some images for you. The conceptual 3D model, elevations, what does this look like? What is the internal circulation, space relationships, really getting down to the nuts and bolts of how the floor plan should function so everyone can critique that. And that would be our next step.
And that's included in our current contractual.
That is part of our original agreement, yes.
So I guess what I'm thinking is there's no reason for you not to proceed on that if the commissioners and all of us are in agreement that site study A is what we're talking about. Going to site study B does create a situation where I'm assuming we'd have to revise your contract to include additional services in terms of designing the daycare facility incorporated inside of the main building.
I would suggest we, if that's the direction, yes, we renegotiate that part. Otherwise, Tim, we're good to go.
Tim, I have a couple. It looks like Mark might have some input. I'm curious whether he does or if he's just listening intently. And then I also, well, I'll just say that first. I guess I'm curious, Mark, if you have thoughts or if you're just listening carefully.
I do actually, Beth, and that is, and it's really no different than some of the conversations we've had previously on this project. And that is, you have a unique opportunity here, I believe. And that is that you can build a facility that will serve your needs now, but hopefully also plan for future utilization. And I know I've also said, any way you've got enough square footage to accommodate what might be additional needs throughout the county, I think that that's a good plan along those lines. In terms of the daycare facility, I think I can see the excitement from DOLA, Beth, and commissioners, because I think that what that does is that expands your possibilities, your utilities, and your functionalities, and I think that it would get a very warm reception from the DOLA grant folks and would boost the opportunities for outside additional funding. So I think that if that's a part of your plan going forward, I think that generates a lot more interest and a lot more excitement, and actually it is probably a project that's going to have a lot more traction going forward. So I guess in a nutshell, if you have an opportunity, I think you want to seize that opportunity. B, I think it's going to be very, very receptive to outside funding sources, and see, maximize your opportunity. If you're going to build it, build as much as you possibly can right now, because as Tim certainly knows in the contracting business, you look at something like this 5 or 6 years from now, and $400 a square foot would be a pipe dream.
And then the other question / comment I was going to make is, I guess I'm just curious how you all want to proceed with follow-up on exploring the daycare facility concept. I mean, I've heard Kelly offer to reach out to some other folks who have done this. I mentioned there could be some role for, well, and Doug mentioned too, for first impressions. I could resend you guys the analysis that I did before. Do you want me and Kelly to work with First Impressions to kind of have a working group that would provide some input and kind of help us to answer some of these questions that we've brought up? What do you guys see as the best way to proceed on that?
I don't have any answers to that, Beth. I don't know. I'll go back to Mark's comment. And, you know, by the way, I do think we have Steve and Ray on here, too. So if we wanted to hear from them, Mr. Chairman, too, it might be good, too. But, you know, again, the one thing I liked about the option B is the having the childcare entrance off of 6th Street versus having the entrance off of the alley. And I just know how our neighbors are with the Old Town Pub and the, and the dumpsters back there and the rest. And so it's kind of, I don't know how classy that is. But anyhow, I'd like to, if Ray or Steve had any comments, so.
Do I have to raise my hand?
No, we can hear you, Ray, go ahead.
All right, good. Yeah, as with Mark, I agree with what everybody's saying. I mean, if we can build it now, we're better. I have some thoughts about I think ideally, if there could be an entrance and it changes the whole design, I understand. I think an entrance off of Oak Street's better than an entrance off of 6th Street, just because I look at the amount of parking if you're going to have an entrance off 6th Street. And I agree with Doug that the entrance off the alley could be kind of iffy, because often, or at least sometimes, that alley is blocked with deliveries with those businesses over there. I like the concept of, and I've got my own thoughts about the child care center and who it should be operated, or who it could be operated by, and for who. I'm thinking of the county employees. We talk about being a premier employer and stuff, and if we could offer some kind of child care for employees, I think that would be great. So those are just some thoughts that I've had.
I'll just come in on your last statement, Ray, just to tell you what I've been thinking, is picturing that depending on whether the city was a partner or not, it would be sort of like the, you know, the hospital daycare facility operates, where it's prioritized for employees. And like I said, I think it could be city and county, or it could just be county depending on how the project proceeds. And then if there's additional space available, then it's open to the broader community. That's kind of how I've been conceptualizing it personally.
Okay, good, because that's the way I was thinking about it too, because I just see the struggles that employees have here with their child care provider coming and going often. So
more broadly, you know, I think there could be some criticism of, you know, spending money on doing this for our own staff. Obviously we have an obligation to take care of our staff, and we want to retain staff. It does also create community benefit, because every employee who doesn't need a spot at another childcare facility opens that spot up for community members. And so that's kind of the way I've been thinking about it. If we didn't have a significant shortage, then yeah, we'd be having a different conversation. But considering how severe the shortage is in our community, I do think it produces community benefit to have childcare available for our staff.
Definitely. And while it may be premature at this point, it'd probably be worth doing a survey amongst current county employees to see who could or would like to take advantage of something like that. But maybe we don't want to create that expectation at this point.
So I'm trying to put myself in the place of Mountain Architecture. And if we don't make some kind of a decision shortly about whether we're going to pursue Scheme A or Scheme B, it seems to me that Mountain Architecture is on hold until that decision gets made. Is that a true statement, Ed, Lacey?
Yeah, we would prefer some direction today.
I guess either. I thought we were pretty good on A. Doug, I heard you express some trepidation. I guess the only question I would have is if it's possible to locate the entrance a little bit differently so that it's not right on the alley. I don't know if it is or not, but if that's the only concern.
I think, and just to chime in, I think in option A, the entrance, most people would still enter off of 6. They just have to travel down the sidewalk. So we can put the entrance a little bit closer to the core, maybe over in this area. But you're still going to have this adjacency with the alley. Am I hearing you correctly that you want to see this area maybe located closer here or here? Or
no, I think you're fine. I just, to Doug's point, you know, we know who the neighbors are off that alley, and that is a little bit of a challenge. I mean, and I think about parents and drop off and that kind of thing. And so if that's the biggest design concern with A, A just seems more feasible for us in terms of our path forward and our planning, at least to me. So I don't know, Doug, what your thoughts are.
Oh, you know, I'm all right. And again, so Tim's pushing the question here. So I'm all right and very good, comfortable with option A. And again, I guess I would still like to figure out how we could incorporate option B into option A at a later point in time, with not having separation and actually put the.
Should we look at another
question, which I don't know if this is probably a can of worms, but I'll just say it anyway. You know, if we're talking about maximizing and building as much as we can on this site, why wouldn't we be looking at doing the second story of offices above the daycare in option A in order to have, you know, that future room for growth that we've been talking about and maximizing? I mean, I don't want to keep adding dollars to this project, but I guess I'm just curious. I mean, isn't that kind of what incorporating the two options together would look like?
So again, Beth, I think what you're saying speaks to supporting option A, because if we support option A, Mountain Architecture can continue to move forward. And I understand the concerns about the proximity to the alley, but I believe that Lacey made a pretty good point. I think you could probably reserve 3 or 4 parking places out there on 6th Street that are for pickup and drop off of children, and they can walk down. There could even conceivably be a fence there separating the parking spaces from the building so that people could go in and out of the child care center without really dealing with the alleyway and all of that. So yeah, I guess I'm kind of pushing for us to arrive at a decision that option A works, and that Mountain Architecture can proceed with their design work, and then we can engage in an extended discussion about the child care center, whether it's one story, whether it's 2 stories, develop the planning around operational costs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in the meantime, the rest of the project keeps moving forward.
I'm great with that. I think option A just gives us the flexibility we need to be able to move forward, and there aren't such significant benefits to option B that I want to hold it up. But Doug's the one. Doug's our dissenter here, so it's up to him.
Oh, no, I'm all right with option A too. And again, the only thing I see bad about option A is that entering off of the alley. And so we add some parking on in the option B as well, which I always love parking downtown. And so, but I'm good with option A, and we figure out how we can get funded the 12,000 square feet we got figured out right there and go for that.
So I have another question for the entire group. Is there some benefit in taking this option A and presenting this, whether it be to Gary Suter or to council or to some element of staff right now, and say, hey, are there some deal breakers here? Because we need to know about them before we direct Mountain Architecture to spend any more time and effort pushing forward with this design.
Are you asking about from a planning standpoint, or are you asking about from a child care facility standpoint?
So, no, actually, what I'd like to do is present option A to the city, whatever part of the city that would be, and being quite open about the fact that we have no idea whether or not we're going to be building a child care center, but we're pretty sure we're building a DHS building. So if we move forward with construction of this DHS building, as shown here, with the limited amount of parking that we might end up under if we built a child care center, do we have a deal breaker here with setbacks?
Well, Tim, that's the conversation that somebody would have with the planning staff. It's not appropriate for us to have that with there's a quasi-judicial issue. Okay. If we start asking that question to city council.
So maybe that question is better directed to Mountain Architecture. Is this a point in the game where you would go and approach planning, city planning, to have some general conversations? Or would you wait until you had a more completed design?
We typically would do that, Tim. I would suggest we develop a little bit more of a floor plan and possibly some images, but that is definitely, although we have not included the planning process in our proposal, we don't like to be leading you down the wrong path either. So at some point we would entertain at least an open discussion with a staff planner to see what the issues are and how well it is received. This is just an informal meeting, but that would come very soon. I think a little more development in the floor plan and image though.
Other than the parking, and again, just talking about the DHS building, not talking about the child care center, other than the parking, you must have some degree of confidence that you have the ability with this footprint to design a building that would meet the city's development codes.
We have considered community development code from the get-go, yes. It's an appropriate use, I believe.
So I think we've all acknowledged that that scenario A is where we want to go, and I believe it's a good scenario, because even if we're at a later point in time, if somebody wants to build another building there in the daycare center site, we still have that ability to put in something else and figure out how parking could be solved and all those things and kick the can down there. So, and again, I think we can still work on the daycare center down there. Concept thought too. Option A seems like we need to move forward on.
I agree.
Yep. I think we're good.
And may I offer one food for thought here for Mountain Architecture? And maybe it's too long of a walk, but option A, I think everybody's in agreement with that. But would it be possible, rather than having the entrance off of 6th Street where you've got that, maybe it's the southeast corner there, could you enter off of Oak Street? Because I'm just thinking of the feel for the kids and the parents entering the building. Could they come off of Oak Street? We have some dedicated parking spots there for load and unload. Is they're going to walk through a street, but an outdoor softscape space as well as the courtyard, rather than kind of like what Doug's concern is, coming in off the alley. Even if you come off of 6th Street, you're going between a building and a fence. It's kind of like you're being shuffled in the back door of a place. Where if you came off of Oak Street and walked through an area that's scaped and better feel, would that start people's day off better?
It's a little bit of a drop. It's a significant drop there as far as any vehicular access off of that point. It drops about 8 feet from the pavement. You would have to almost build some kind of a structure or bring in backfill to provide a pull-in parking, if you would. It's a little bit of a physical challenge other than maybe walking down a set of stairs to get to that point. I don't know. We can look at that.
That's what you were suggesting, wasn't it, right? Was a walk-in from Oak Street, not a drive-in.
Right, a walk-in from Oak Street. Mm-hmm.
Conceptually, though, what you're hearing is if there's a way that the entrance to the daycare facility could not be off the alley, that would be great for you all to consider.
And I think we could create a slightly different floor plan, maybe shorten the extent of the DHS building and maybe bring forward part of that, even if it's a covered walkway or some kind of a identifier from the street that says this is daycare, and you know, still keep the concept of the building separate. I think we could perform some architectural identifiers that are obvious for the user to get to the child care facility from 6th Street and possibly even Oak across the, you know.
So I kind of like that option, Ed, just in the fact that, again, you know, it might be a new building down there or something at a later point in time. It wasn't the daycare center at a future time. So just if we kept accessible there off of either Oak or 6th would be good.
Which again is still at least mostly independent from the design of the DHS building.
Yes, it's just massaging the floor plan a little bit to allow for some kind of a physical, if it's a built structure or, like I said, just a covered walkway, something that identifies it. I can see that if even if the building use changes, we'll want some kind of a frontage identifier off of 6 that says here we are. So it's modifying the DHS bill, foreshortening it a little bit as it runs along. Can we consolidate the floor plan once we get into the real specific floor plan assignments? The building will take on a different shape. But I hear what you're saying. I think we can accomplish some of those needs as far as identifying from 6th Street.
All right. I feel like we've done something unusual here and actually provided good direction to...
I don't know, Tim. I was going to say, have we thoroughly beat this to death? Because I think that's where we're at.
No, I think we only beat it half to death, but that may be all we needed to do today was beat it half to death. And I'm sensing from Mountain Architecture that they have the direction they need to proceed with the completion of their contract for whatever that scope was on DHS at this time.
Yes, I would expect, you know, we'll keep you in a loop as we advance, this concept and suggest we meet again in 2 to 3 weeks.
Very good. Any other comments, direction, commissioners? Ed, Lacey, thank you very much. We really appreciate the work you've put into this, and we look forward to seeing the next stage of design. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Back today.
I'm sorry, did I miss?
No, I just said thank you for the feedback. It's very helpful. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, commissioners. We should be able to move on with the rest of our agenda, which is...
Only an hour over schedule, so...
not too bad. But I'm going to guess that we may not have much more than 45 minutes of COVID-19 work session discussion, he said, hopefully. So what have we got going on today for COVID-19?
I don't have anything. I'd love to hear any updates Mark has for us.
And so would I, Mark.
Commissioners, as I mentioned in my remarks yesterday, we have been working diligently to identify help and assistance for the public health department. And let me talk about a couple things that we're doing as we have that as our number one priority right now. Number one, we're doing some very important debriefs and data downloads with both Carrie and her staff members to make sure that we've got a really good handle on all the responsibilities and all the duties and all the activities that are going on right now, so that we have a good working operational list to make sure that we've got all of our bases covered going forward. So those conversations, those discussions, began yesterday. They'll continue both today, and then I've got a separate meeting with Carrie tomorrow after our BOH meeting. So those efforts are ongoing. Secondly, we have begun the recruitment process for the public health director. That announcement went out the door yesterday. It's now advertised today, so it's on the streets. And we are, in addition to making those advertisements and those recruitment notices, we're also making multiple phone calls to a number of our partners. I was in contact with Greg Winkler late last evening, asking him for his assistance going forward. Kathy is doing that with all our other sister agencies and our other partners out there, our other counties, our other resort communities, so that we're making sure that we are casting, and this is the big emphasis, commissioners, as big a net as we can to make sure that we're using all the resources at our disposal. Beth has also been helpful in reaching out with her contacts, so that once again, we put the announcement out there that we want to make sure that we get as many good qualified candidates as we can going forward. Thirdly, we are also intensifying our efforts to make sure that we've got an interim capacity and making sure that when Carrie steps back on July 24th, that later that day and certainly on the 25th that we've got the right resources going forward to make sure that all our activities are ongoing. And even Dr. Harrington has been in touch with us. I know we had a good conversation yesterday about, again, those additional resources that are available for us so that we make sure that we keep everything going with some good forward progress. I'll hold up there and answer any questions that you may have. I don't believe that Kathy's on this call this morning, but if you have some questions for HR, I can certainly relay those.
I see that Kelsey is on, and yesterday Kelsey was actually Kathy and has her hand raised. So I don't know if, Deanna, you can let her in or if you're still getting the mail. If she's still getting the mail, we may not be able to let Kelsey in / Kathy.
And I believe that I don't hear Kendra next door, so I think she's still getting the mail. So we'll just ask Kathy to hang in there, and as soon as Kendra's back, we can get you in.
Just the only question I have is: are you sort of looking at the ability to designate like an interim director while proceeding with a long-term hiring process, or are you looking at like what kind of interim solution are you considering?
Bless you, Tim. Yes, we are indeed looking at just that, Beth, that we would have an interim that would be able to do all the operational and all the technical duties and responsibilities while we are looking for that permanent replacement. So that's the plan right now, Beth, at this point. And I, even with some of our early contacts, I'm confident that we're going to have the ability to put somebody in an interim capacity when we come up on July 25th. Doug, I've got a quick follow-up. We also were able to go out to the West Steamboat facility and knock on some doors and get some access to the facility. There actually was somebody there from the Health Partnership Network that as we banged on the door a couple times, she came down and let us in. So I've got some pictures that I'll share with you and I'll give you some background information on that. But I can tell you right off the bat, it is an incredibly very small space to work in. And I think once you see those pictures, you can get an appreciation of just exactly in our COVID environment today, how that would make a lot of staff members very nervous working in that very confined space. It's really tight and you are working, you're co-working with other members of the health partnership that are there in that same building. And I see that Kathy's on.
So, excuse me, I don't have anything to add. I just wanted to be available to answer questions. But based on what you were just saying about space, I will say that I was told that, those working in public health were crammed in Chad's office yesterday. So I think the sooner that we can allow them to transition over to the cabin, the better. I know that one employee who's been working with that team, volunteering was, I think Steamboat Medical said, that it pretty much was risky working with those nurses and some of those individuals. Now, I don't really know to what degree, but if that's the case, I think that the sooner we can spread them out, the better.
Can I ask just a quick question about that? And maybe Ray knows the answer, or I don't know, but I walked through the planning office yesterday and there was literally no one in there at all. So I guess I'm a little confused about why they have to cram into one office if our planning staff is working remotely.
Beth, I'll chime in and then Kathy, if you want to add to my remarks. I know that in visiting with Christy, that what they're doing is they're engaging in a rotational schedule for the planning office. So some offices might be vacant on a given day, but then the next day they're going to be filled. And again, they've got that rotation pattern going on right now. I'm not sure. When I've been by, I've seen individuals in there. I'm not sure what the circumstances were yesterday, but otherwise there has been, especially with the graduated reopening of the annex, there has been some pretty consistent coverage in the planning office.
But that's okay. Yeah, that's fine. I understand. It just was confusing to me because there was no one in there.
Well, and Ray, I know I see you on the phone. I don't know what the latest has been from Kelly. I know she was super supportive of making that space available. So I guess the question is, how soon do we think it's available for that transition to happen?
Okay, sorry. Was I asked a question? I was talking to someone else. When I started talking to him, I said, I hope they don't ask me a question.
Yeah, so we just want to find out. We know Kelly was super supportive of having public health use the cabin. And the question is, how soon do you think we would be able to start transitioning people to work in the cabin?
Oh, I think that can happen immediately. The only person that needs an office space, and it'll be a transition. Matter of fact, Kelly and I were talking about it today, would be Tom. I don't know Tom, but he's got that small space set up in the kitchen area. And so if he can stay there for a few weeks, which I think we can transition. And according to Kelly on the department head call last Thursday, she had actually spoken with Carrie Ladro about that. And Carrie was okay with Tom maintaining that space, you know, for a while anyway. And so the conversation Kelly and I had this morning was, we need to be looking for a space for Tom. We just haven't set one up for him yet. So it'll be a few weeks while Tom is still there, and he's there 20 hours a week, max. So yeah, everything else is pretty much available now.
Okay, so would you wanna reach out to Kelly or Carrie and just let her know that at least three slots are available immediately, and if they wanna start transitioning over?
Sure.
Okay.
Always happy to do.
So while we're working on this is an interim thing. So I guess, I don't know whether, and I'm throwing work out here, but you know, I'm still a little disappointed in the West office site, you know, and we're gonna cut that contract ASAP, I assume, as soon as we can get it gone. And then I still think it's financially prudent, operationally prudent, to be moving forward and trying to find some place that has, you know, three or four or five offices. So, you know, in the long run, because it's long run, even for a year lease. And so we can't throw these people on top of each other continually. And it's not me, I'm not the realtor type either, but you know, so, and then again, Ray, I don't know that, you know, so I don't want to throw it on you either, but we do need to get, maybe, and we actually ask some realtor to help us or something, and to you know, some rental realtor, because I can't believe there isn't something out there that we can use in the interim for a year lease or something that we can throw off desks and IT in, that we can have a real place for these people. So these people, our employees, are very important. So yeah.
Doug, can I ask a question? When you're thinking about space, are you thinking about it from a clinical standpoint too, where it's a location where they would continue to do some kind of testing?
Well, I'm not smart enough to know that. So again, that's where we need the direction from public health to say, you know what, you know, we it's quite clear that we didn't get the right direction on the last request for what our office needs are at. So we need we definitely need some input from, you know, Michelle or Carrie of what the needs are and how we move forward solidifying those and the solution to those needs. So no, I don't know. I have no idea. Do they need a laboratory? Do they need be up there at the, you know, the Steamboat Medical Center, you know, or is there something out there and up there at the, you know, I'm just trying to think, there's got to be something out there But again, until we get told what those operational needs are, I'm just assuming we need office space. If that's not the case, you know, so I guess we need to have some direction coming from public health.
On the clinical side, we had talked about looking at the grant funding that's available for a mobile clinic kind of a solution, which would probably honestly be a better long-term solution than trying to set up a clinical space that's going to end up being temporary. I think that's something that's going to serve the needs of public health for a lot longer. But I would agree with Doug, we should ask, you know, what the needs actually are. And it sounds like there were a few problems with that West End site. One, it's too small, but two, it's pretty far away. And that ended up being really challenging for them in the current environment. So I don't know, you know, I think, again, to Doug's point, we really should enlist someone who actually knows, but I'm picturing, you know, even like on Oak Street, just a little bit up where like Debbie Aragon is. I mean, there are a few places that have for rent signs on them. And if what we need is like 3 or 4 or 5 just offices, it seems like we should be able to come up with something that would meet their needs. I don't have any idea though.
I do.
Well, I mean, the cabin can house about 5 people for sure.
And how long is that solution going to be viable, I guess is the question. Because we do have employees that is their office space. I mean, and so at some point we're just playing Tetris, right? I mean, we're going to have to, those people are going to come back to work or be hired and we're going to need a place for them. And we're not going to have a new DHS building yet.
Well, I think the first impressions or the, you know, Stephanie Martin role was the main individual who was housed in that space.
Hey, Ray, I'm assuming there's some reason that we're not talking about the training center at the Justice Center?
Yes.
We actually did talk about that.
Yeah, you missed that, Tim. We talked about it last Friday when you were on. Okay.
It was a no. That's the short version.
Okay, it doesn't work. Fine. That's all I need to know for now.
Yeah, they still need, there's still some security concerns. They still want to have the thing open for meetings as well, even in cleansing and the rest, it didn't work. Yeah.
Okay.
And part of the problem of what's going on right now is that the reason that these public health folks are having to work out of the downtown campus, in my understanding, is they have all these supplies that they're having to schlep around with them everywhere. And so I think part of the solution absolutely could be that mobile clinic concept so that they're not having to pick up and set up and, you know, and they need to be close to where all that's happening, where all those supplies are being stored. So anyway.
Was it you all who said Moffitt already bought one?
Moffitt did. Well, I don't know if they bought it yet, but they've ordered one, I believe. And they're in the process of doing it. But Ray had been looking at the Council on Aging van and seeing if it could be retrofitted as well. So
I guess my question, and again, I'm not the realtor and don't know what's out there, is, but you know, those commercial live units or something like that out there in the industrial complex there, north of town there on Elk River Road, is any of those open or something that we could rent for the short term, would have a, you know, garage space or whatever and offices up on top and the rest. So I don't know, we need to have some help.
I think we need to ask for a prioritization of what's critical. You know, is it being close to downtown? Is it having separate office space? Is it having clinical space? Because if what we're hearing, we need to understand what's needed. And then I think we need to work with someone who can help us identify facilities that would meet that need.
And Beth, you're exactly right. And Kathy was a part of this conversation with both Carrie and Michelle last week. When we laid out what would be the ideal scenario for staff resources right now within public health, there, if they had an A number one choice, it would be the fact that they would have adequate space for their staff members, adequate space allocation But just as importantly, the ability to test out of that area, and that's Kathy's reference to the clinical piece. And again, as you pointed out, Beth, the problem that they've got with transferring all their materials and all their supplies and going through all that mobilization, that mini mobilization each time, is just very cumbersome and very problematic. So in an ideal scenario, it's an area that can house them, can house their supplies, and some of those clinical supplies. So again, talking about maybe that big refrigerator, and would it have accessibility that we could have a small mobile testing site? So that would be the A number one choice if that exists out there right now, or if we can identify that. And everything begins to cascade down from there in terms of just exactly other space resources. But obviously it's something that we need to do a little bit more research on right now. And so I'll work with Ray and we'll work with Steve, and we'll see just exactly what our choices are going forward. Because you're right, Beth, there are some available commercial spaces in town, and I think we need to kick the tires on that.
Well, and it'd be great to do it before we're bringing new staff into that department. So it's not like, hey, you're in the planning department this week, and next week we'll move you to the cabin, and then the week after that. That would not be ideal. I feel sufficiently updated, Tim.
I do too. I didn't really have much to add to that conversation. I mean, I still maintain in a pinch my office is available. So if we need a temporary home, it's right here. But I'll leave that up to the staff. I don't need to get in the middle of all of that. Anything else that we want to talk about on COVID-19 updates?
I don't have anything else.
Doug?
No, I don't have anything else either. So, yep.
Mark? Looks like he's already checking out, so.
Aren't we all, Tim?
Mark, I'm going to assume that you don't have anything to add for today's conversation.
Okay. I don't, Tim. Nope, nothing else. Thank you.
Great. So let's get back together tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m. Thank you all very much.
Tim, I think Robin wants to say something. Sorry, before you get too excited.
No, I don't see her on my screen.
She's here and she's waving. So I see her. So I'll just tell you.
Okay.
I just wanted to let you know that I emailed what you're going to talk about at the Board of Health. So you can read it before the meeting. It's just the travel recommendations. So I just wanted you to check it out before the meeting tomorrow. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, I say we adjourn. See you tomorrow.
You're here, bye.
Thank you.